I have a conspiracy theory that I'm developing that I want to share with you.
That you're it's your conspiracy theory.
Okay, I just made that way more dramatic than it is.
Absolutely set that up with some drama.
It's actually not dramatic at all, and it involves Celine Dion.
Oh, that's... Oh, my God. Music to my ears. I'm so excited.
So, you know, I want everyone who's listening to this right now to hit pause and go and listen to Celine Dion's one of her earliest, if not earliest, hit, Power of Love.
Oh, yeah.
And then come back. Okay, welcome back. I don't think it's Celine Dion singing it. It's...
Oh, my God. Wow.
I think she's Milli Vanilli does.
This is a huge hot take.
Because listen to it. It's a little raspier. It's like a little heavier. And it's less French sounding than the rest of her.
But so you're saying that she sings all the rest of her songs, but just called in a ringer just for this one?
Yeah.
That's your theory.
That's my theory.
So it's not even that Celine Dion can't sing. Your theory is not that.
No. I'm sure she's very talented, yeah. And also she's like really charming on her Instagram.
Oh my God, she is a delight.
So go take a look at that. I mean, it sort of sounds like that. But you think it sounds exactly like her?
Yes.
Okay, sounds like. I'm going to wait till the chorus.
Okay.
It does sound like her.
Hey, this is Amrita and Andrew. We're on a podcast journey to find our way through freelance life.
If you're thinking about taking the leap off the beaten path in any part of your life, our advice is,
don't think twice. So I went to a Pilates class this morning. And it was like...
BK Pilates?
Yes. It was a totally different experience than my last experience there. It was a very like New York, like rich lady crowd. Kind of a Real Housewives crowd. They spent the entire time talking during class about their husband's golf habits and their personal shoppers at Neiman Marcus.
Ooh.
And how like they're pretty sure that the Neiman Marcus at like the new Hudson Yards is probably nicer because it's so new. One of them has a 2-year-old daughter that she was like talking about how like, oh, she's like so opinionated, she'll definitely have to work, I just know it.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
While she's like crunching her abs.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. Oh, wow. Like as opposed to like being able to just be a housewife. Isn't that sickening?
She's so opinionated, she's gonna have to work, because that's the only reason any of us work.
Yes, because we have opinions. We're too opinionated to be housewives.
Wow. That's not like my gym experience at all.
No. And also, by the way, all these women are like facelifted within an inch of their lives.
Oh, I can imagine. Like, how old are these women? They have 2-year-olds and they have facelifts?
Well,
I guess, you know.
It's New York. Like, it is New York. You know, lots of egg baby surrogates stuff. But
so they're like 50 years old. 45.
And up, but like some of them had like marriage age children and stuff too, so it was, and I was by far the youngest person, and I was obviously not participating in the conversation at all, but everybody was like chit-chatting as we're like on the reformers, like, you know, crunching whatever, doing all the things, the thrusts. I should have just piped in, but like at one point I was invited to join in, and like this woman was like, oh, do you have kids? And I was like, no. And she was like, well, enjoy your life.
No, I think these are the situations when you need to
invent a child. Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, so, but yeah, your gym experience is definitely different.
Yeah.
So we just recently celebrated 1 year.
1 year. Of being a
company.
Of being an official company.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yay. Yeah. Yes. Congrats us.
We celebrated that day by working.
We were working appropriately. We were working that day.
Yeah.
But even so, like, you know, it's been 1 year, which is kind of crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's 1 year of the paperwork, like, officially going through.
Right.
So, like, the government recognizing our partnership. And we were just talking about this, that it's been, like, it's, like, still a thing, or we're just now starting to get good at when someone asks, like, oh, like, what are you doing, like, outside of this thing? You know, if you're, like, yeah. we're, like, working a show or something, and not say immediately saying, oh, well, I'm a freelancer.
Yeah.
And instead saying, well, I own a business.
Yeah. It's been a shift.
Yeah. And it's taken, like, a while. It's taken until pretty recently.
Well, I mean, we have long admired those people who are just so coolly confident, mm-hmm. and just, like, saying the thing.
Like, this is what I am. This is mm-hmm. what I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And being like, oh, but it's, like, not a thing, really. Yeah. It's just, you know, all the qualifiers you want to put on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I write music, but it's not like, it's not like anyone hears it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just being able to say, I own a business. It's great.
Yeah. Next question.
Right. Exactly. Well, that was the thing, is not qualifying. Oh, I own a business, but mm-hmm. it's this and that and the other. Mm-hmm. So when usually the answer to that, like, the response to that one is, oh, wow, that's cool. And then I want to be like, well, don't think it's, you know, too cool. But instead just saying, thank you. It is really cool. It's great. You. Loving it.
Reach out if you need help.
Exactly. So we, first of all, it's taken us, like, some time to clarify, like, what do we do as mm-hmm. a company? What do we do? What kind of work do we do? And then once we were sort of able to answer that question, we're like, well, how do we tell people that better?
Yeah.
One thing is that neither of us in our personal lives ever take pictures of ourselves or together. No. Like, there's almost no pictures, even though we have been friends and, like, close friends. Like, I mean, like, spent mm-hmm. so much time together over the past, like, 8 years.
Yeah.
There are almost no photographs that exist.
Nope.
Of the two of us together.
There might be 3 or 4.
Total.
Legitimately.
Like, literally. I even looked and I was like, wow, this is... There's, like, maybe one blurry one from a bar, like, yeah, maybe one at the beach.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't like getting my picture taken.
I don't like...
And I don't know why.
I don't usually take a lot of pictures in general.
I don't either. I have a shitty phone, the shitty camera, and even when I did have a good phone.
Uh-huh. I mean, you actually have a decent photographic eye. I just don't. Like, I sometimes think something's going to look really good, and then I take a picture of it, and I'm like, that looked good in person, but that's, like, totally different from what looks good on camera. So, yeah, no, we're both deeply, deeply uncomfortable with getting our pictures taken. So we took a very big step.
Last week.
And had a photo session with a real photographer in her mm-hmm. home studio.
We had a shoot.
We paid a person to take our picture.
Yeah.
And so then we had to do it.
Yep.
And
I had to show up and do it.
Oh my God. Okay. So first of all, this is someone that we know mm-hmm. like socially. And, I walked in her door and the first thing she said to me, she goes, oh, you're scared. like, and I was like,
how could she tell?
She's apparently she just felt it in waves coming off of me. That's what she said. I don't know if she's like a particularly intuitive person or something like that. Well, but
she was right.
I was like, yeah. Or I was just really obviously uncomfortable. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm really like, yeah, I'm just kind of, yeah, I'm nervous. And you didn't say as much, but I could tell that you were uncomfortable with it, too.
It's uncomfortable. I mean, you know. Getting your picture taken, like,
yeah, what is it though? It's like being the center of attention, or like choosing what you're gonna represent to the camera.
Yeah, like, you know, I'm sure that if we did it, if it became just like a thing that happens, then it's a thing that happens.
Well, that's what I was saying. So I feel like we really have to get comfortable in the limelight.
Just getting our pictures taken. Yeah, I mean, striking some poses.
Making some poses, giving some face.
Yeah.
And not being like, you know?
Yeah.
We
got comfortable by the end, I think, or got more comfortable.
We got more comfortable.
More comfortable.
But it was funny. But the thing is, like, looking at the the photos afterwards. There are some that were just like candids that ended up really nice and fun, and those are probably some of my favorites. But my favorites after the candids are the ones when we had like we were like, oh, let's pose.
Yeah.
But then we couldn't really just like just take that seriously and just like actually pose. We like went a little goofier.
Yeah.
But even so, some of those were really good, and I was like, oh, well, next time we should just like lean into that and just pose, even if it feels really silly.
Yeah. 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 I feel like I learned a couple lessons about what to do.
And give lots of different options of
options,
angles, and really lean where you're standing.
So it's kind of, it's like, it's akin to if you have ever taken an acting class, or had an acting coach. In performance, small gestures read as self-conscious. So your movements on stage should kind of be like 50% bigger than real life. And I guess you can apply that to like having your picture taken. Mm-hmm. Like it feels really
like
silly.
Like if you're going to like pop look your at the hip, camera. Like really pop it. Right. Don't just like kind of
go halfway. Give like that look to the camera, like give the look to the camera, not just kind of halfway.
Yeah.
Or trying to be too subtle.
Yeah, 100%. And then also the other thing is that I think this ties in really nicely to one of our shared observations about ourselves and our like goals, which is trying to be less inhibited.
Right.
And I didn't really think about this until now, that like thinking about being inhibited in different areas of your life, or like, you know, kind of hold, like the moments when you want to do something and then you just, you're like, oh man,
no, you modify it or don't do it at all.
Hold back.
Yeah.
Like that was definitely that, where it was like really could have gone really much more, been like, yeah, I get my picture taken all the time. Yeah. I'm a celebrity. Pose.
Yeah.
And I think we will have fun with that next time we get our picture taken. But that was a nice moment to be reminded that, like, oh yeah, being inhibited is does not serve.
It doesn't serve. Doesn't serve. Anyway, there's not much story there, but what I will tell you, I do have a few things on my list.
Somebody winked at you at the gym.
Well, you know, I've about a few weeks ago, I think, you told me that sometimes. Well, let me back this story up. A couple weeks ago, we worked an event together.
Yes.
It was a well-known singer-songwriter. I was doing a talk. And, oh, no. No, that's not the event.
No. I was like, I'm not sure what you're talking about, but...
Let me back that up. A couple weeks ago, we did an event wherein the final act of the show was a musical theater number. By a troupe of people who were probably no more than like 23.
Yeah.
And they were rehearsing their piece right before the house opened. And I happened to be in the house. And so Amrita was there too. And I was watching what I thought in my head. I was just watching. I was just watching.
Your face. I mean, like, first of all, you were standing out in the open, like very
no one
visible.
Was around me.
There was no one around
there
you.
There was no one in the house. It was like me and Amrita and maybe another person.
Standing just like in direct eye view of the entire like performing cast with a look on your face like you had like sour milk under your nose. Like so disgusted, so just like outwardly horrified that I felt like I had to come over and tell you to moderate your face.
Yeah, so she really comes nice over, way, no, in a very nice way and like touches my arm and is like, you need to like either walk away or change your expression. but I share that because there was a couple of weeks prior to this incident where you mentioned to me that I cannot either be intimidating or kind of have kind of a, I don't know.
Yeah, just a face of a serious face. This
yeah,
has always
a serious
been,
face.
This
yeah.
has just always been your face.
So recently I've been thinking a lot about the face that I hold when I'm in public. And, you know, we all have like a commuting face.
Yeah, and you've talked about my terrible commuting face. And I've tried to moderate that a little bit. Because sometimes when I see other people's commuting faces, I'm like, oh, okay, all
right. Right, but I think there's a safety issue there and like a sort of a boundaries issue. Like, you want to have sort of a face
but like,
that
but like
people
at work or whatever,
approach.
You don't necessarily want to have a terrifying face.
Right.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to hold my face in a different way. And
how's that been working for
and
you?
It's been working well. So I was in San Francisco last week or maybe the week before, and I was trying it in public, just like having like a pleasant face.
And how did you do that? You just thought like, oh, smile.
Like a faint smile.
Smize.
So I was smizing in public, and people were coming up to me a couple of times, and like just to ask like for directions or something,
okay,
which is not something I would normally invite,
because
I don't want to get into a conversation a lot of times with people if I'm going somewhere, whatever. But and then in San Francisco, someone winked at me, cute guy winked at me, and then fast forward to this week, I was at the gym, and I was thinking I also don't want to look too serious. So I was looking in the mirrors and practicing, like, looking
so
more pleasant. And someone winked at me.
That's so cute.
He was very cute.
How did you respond? Did you smile?
I smiled. Mm-hmm. I smiled.
Oh, that's nice.
And that was it.
Mm-hmm. I love a wink. I know that some people find a wink a little, like, creepy or something, but I think a wink
is only creepy if it's delivered in a creepy way.
Yeah, in the same way that...
Anything is creepy
if it's delivered in a creepy way.
That's all.
Yeah.
But, and I don't know if this is the reason, my smizing in San Francisco is the reason that this happened. But, so I've noticed when I take Lyfts or Ubers in different cities that there is a different culture. Have we talked about this before?
No.
Have we talked about it? Okay. So there are different car cultures, different Lyft and Uber car service cultures in different cities that I've noticed, primarily New York when we were in LA, and then I've been in San Francisco several times this year, and every single time I've ended up in similar situations with drivers
chatty or like,
so my rough breakdown is this. New York drivers are the best. First of all, they know where they're going, by and large. Maybe because a lot of the city is a grid, but even the parts of the city that aren't a grid, I feel like the drivers know where they're going.
Yeah.
They get you there quickly.
Yeah.
And they're not chatty. So everything you want in a driver in
New
York.
And they'll sometimes ask for clarification on whether you prefer a tunnel or...
They're proactive.
Yeah, yeah.
What we found in LA is that no one knows where they're going. And although they live and work in LA, they seem to get very frustrated by the traffic. Even though they should
know that it's there.
And also
the
map they're using tells them that they're driving into traffic.
Oh my God, people were getting enraged about it, actually.
Enraged.
Yeah.
And then what I found in San Francisco is that every Lyft Uber driver has a story that they want to share with you.
Uh-huh. Like a life story or?
Yeah. So, for example.
Sure.
The first Lyft driver that I had in San Francisco, I got into his car and he had all sorts of equipment in the car, microphones, cameras, black electronic boxes that did things that, you know, I wasn't sure.
Mysteries.
The whole front seat was full. You know, he greeted me very chatty, and then he said, you know, a storm is coming. Like,
oh, he's a storm chaser?
So he's a storm chaser.
Shut up.
He's a Lyft driver storm chaser. And he was really itching because when I flew in, it was like there was the slightest possibility that there may be a tornado in Northern California.
Which
that
is
week,
like never happens,
which
right?
Which never happens. Yeah. Which then I mean, it was a 45-minute drive. And in that time, I heard all about how like very rare that is. Mm-hmm. And so he was anxious to drop me off so that then he could go storm chase.
Okay.
That same trip.
I find those people very weird, by the way.
He was delightful.
No, just I mean the concept of being like, oh, I'm going to drive into the storm.
Oh,
like,
right?
Towards danger. Like, no way. Get out of there.
To do what, though?
To do what? Exactly. I mean, I don't know. Does he like sell his photographs?
I think he sells
it
to news stations and things.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have like, I mean, I don't know. It didn't seem like he had a lot of scientific equipment to sort of measure things that might be useful. Mm-hmm. I don't know. On the way back to the airport, at the end of my trip,
have a hobby.
I get another Lyft driver, and he's very chatty, and he's, you know, asking me a little bit about myself. And then I don't quite remember how we segued into this, but there was a moment where he just tells me, I know what it was. We drove past, in the Tenderloin, we drove past a street, an alleyway, and he points to the alleyway, and he's like, oh, yeah, I was arrested there for double attempted murder.
What the fuck?
And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, man. Yeah, man. Like, that was rough. So then he proceeded to tell me how, like, he and his boy, like, were jumped by these two guys in the alleyway. And then he was packing and, like.
Oh, wow. This is like a tale of two gangs.
Yeah. And, like, there was some shots fired, but then they couldn't, like, prove things. And then, in some sort of roundabout way.
I can't believe that he was, like, willing to share this story.
I know. And it was all the way on his way to a point that the point he was making was that Vietnam has really cheap real estate. And that the Bay Area is very expensive.
It is.
And that after he tried to kill somebody, he bought real estate in Vietnam. And now he's, like, a slumlord in Vietnam. Not slumlord. He's a landlord in Vietnam.
Oh, my God. Wow.
So was
that for him a positive story about someone who's turned their life around?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah. But he's like probably 40 years old, and this whole drawn out thing about how he's like really into the nightlife, and so he's promised his wife he'll only go out until 4 a.m. like three nights a week. It's a real thing.
Wow.
And then this recent trip, just really quickly, I got picked up by a guy who is a super reggae fan. Who offered?
Oh my God, I almost like shot coffee out my nose.
Who offered me? It was a Tuesday night. He's like, I was like the Elephant Room or some place in San Francisco. He's like, oh, you're going back to your hotel? Because it was after I had worked an event, and I was like, yeah. And he's like, well, you know, I can just take you to the Elephant Room. It's where I'm going. Like, it's like the best reggae. It's reggae night. It's the best reggae.
He just offered to take you where he was going.
Yeah,
that's so weird.
Yeah. Yeah, San Francisco, you know, has a real chatty, interesting car culture.
Yeah. Meantime, a New York City driver will not turn around no matter what is happening in their backseat. So.
What you talking about?
I'm just saying.
What are you doing in the backseat?
I'm just saying that anything could be going on. Any conversation could be going on.
You have a story
on.
You want to share?
I do not. Did any of your flamboyant new clothes work for you?
No, I haven't received them yet.
Oh, okay.
But I only ordered them a couple days ago. I just ordered some. I'm in a stage of my life where I want to revamp my look.
Oh,
reinvent.
I love a reinvention. I love a makeover scene from a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I love a montage where people are changing their clothes and trying on different outfits and things. So
you want me to photograph myself while
yes.
I'm like,
yeah, or just like invite me over and do a little fashion show
thing. And we'll put on some like
prancing music.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'll be in the living room. You can retire to your boudoir and, you know, do a quick change and
come out. And
yeah. We'll hire a dresser or something. We'll have to get a wardrobe staff, of course.
Yeah, yeah. To keep it snappy. A tape measure around their like,
oh, definitely. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Neck and,
oh yeah. That's great. With like a silk, harem pant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see him. He's going to be great.
But anyway, we're, yeah.
So you're revamping your look.
Yeah. You
and
know,
what is this inspired by?
What is this inspired by? This is inspired by hating everything that I have in my closet.
Okay.
This
why?
Is inspired
is it like
by,
you're bored or like you just feel like it doesn't say who you are?
I feel like it doesn't say who I am.
Okay.
So it's a different. At one time in my life, I felt like I didn't have anything that fit me.
Mm-hmm.
Now I feel like I have some things that fit me well enough without being tailored.
Well, you had to decide like what fit you wanted to. Like,
right. But now I look at it and it's like, this fits me, but it's like, it doesn't say much.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. I can wear it.
And you have such a good build for like wearing different clothes. You're tall.
Ready to like have a better.
Yeah. You have a lot of options.
More pizzazz.
Yeah. Pizzazz.
Maybe that's not a, maybe that's not a good descriptor.
I love that word because it makes me think of like a bedazzler that, but not like the gems, like it's like those little stars and like little mm-hmm. cowboy like charms. That's pizzazz.
Yeah, maybe I'll back away from that descriptor.
So you want more pizzazz. What does that mean? Prints, colors?
Prints, colors, shapes.
Accessories.
Materials.
Not accessories.
Not accessories, really.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we've discovered some things about you and accessories, which
rings
is that...
Rings make me look like a
cocaine dealer.
Cocaine dealer.
Yeah.
And my...
It's
my,
instant transformation. It's kind of interesting.
My joints and my bones are very sort of small, petite.
Yeah, the thing is, it is interesting how you particularly want and need to steer clear of certain trends. Because you're, like... For instance, you have a no tank top rule. You want to tell the people about why you have a no tank top rule?
Well,
I don't want to use the offensive terminology that comes to my mind.
Well, you know, there's just, I can very easily read full white trash. Like, full mountain white trash. Mm-hmm. Like
real redneck, very quickly. Real fast. Yeah.
Put me in a tank top and put me in studded earrings.
Baseball cap. And a tank top, and you're looking like you're shotgunning buds
out of a
truck with a lift kit.
So, you know, and that's just my truth that I have to live with, that I am a razor's edge away from white trash, right? So
you have to, like, overcorrect away from
I
would have scoffed you.
A high wire that I'm walking.
Look, I would have scoffed you out of town on this if I hadn't seen it happen with my own eyes. I've seen it happen with my own eyes.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, look, I'm just going to wear this snapback baseball cap. That's another thing you can't wear. Yep. You have to have a bent.
Yep.
If you have a snapback, things get into a NASCAR direction real quick.
Yes.
Oh my God, you in a snapback and earrings would be so funny. He's so funny.
I can't.
Throw a necklace on there?
Yeah, no, it would...
Razor's edge. Walk a razor's
edge. You know, we all carry something in our lives. You know,
I'm in danger of going in a certain way? Like, do you feel like, because like sometimes I feel like when I go to, like, I mean, my danger is more that I just go towards like comfort, quote unquote.
Yeah, I would say if there's anything, that's your danger.
Yeah, like sloppy, just looking like kind of like a sloppy sweats wearing person. Yeah. Or maybe like kind of like a first grade teacher kind of direction. No shade to our first grade teacher friends. That was very rude.
What does that mean? Tell me more.
That was not targeted towards anyone. I retract that statement. But you know, like I feel like sometimes I'm like, oh, this cardigan is cute. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're like, no, it's not.
Well, you have to realize that there's no situation that you are currently in your life that requires a cardigan.
Right. And
I think a cardigan is good when you have to go into an office 5 days a week and you need to like simplify your life. And like in order for you to like have any iota of like happiness, contentment in life, you have to like decide what is important and what is not. And I think probably like people decide that their office attire isn't that important. If they can just like find a uniform, which is like a cardigan, mm-hmm. then
God bless.
Then they don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
That sounds very sad. It's a very sad situation I just painted.
It's a sad situation. Well, no, I'm sure that those people are doing miraculous things in their day jobs.
Yeah, no, yeah. Yeah. But you don't.
I don't do that.
You don't a cardigan require.
Yeah, that's true. I really got to think more about dressing for the job that I want.
Right.
So like more sequins, like more like studded tights, like more.
Yes.
Wig game.
I'm going to say no on that.
You were like almost following me and then you were like, no.
I just know you too well. And what I fear would happen if you introduce wigs into the equation mm-hmm. is that you'll start with the wig mm-hmm. and then more like mm-hmm. that will be where you start and you will miss time your day. And so you will show up with like a full wig game and like some yoga pants a stained cardigan.
It is very sad how true that is.
You know, it's like a full beat face mm-hmm. with like a wig and it's like, wow. Oh.
We'll leave the wig for
2.0. But everything else, I mean, sequins, color, heels.
Prints. I don't wear prints. I never wear prints.
Let's break it down really. Like there are some basics that you need in your closet. Because like... And that's one of them, you know?
A rhinestone cowboy costume.
Right. I mean, when you go to the rodeo, you can't just wear anything. You can't wear a cardigan to the rodeo.
That's true. Yeah, where do I want to go in life? Nowhere that
right.
a cardigan is the right. price of entry.
Right. So, yeah. Personally, moving forward, I think my rule of thumb when I'm going to buy something is like, you know, it's like where
do I want to go?
Where do I want to go? And like, will I be the best looking person there?
Stay in touch with us on our website, VJandStevens, that's with a PH, .com.